Hello, welcome to a podcast of Media News. My name is Frederike Geerdink, independent journalist.
Yes.
I'm talking today to Raghib Sarakolu, publisher and author, who was born and lived in Turkey for a very long time and now lives in Sweden.
Yeah.
Welcome, Mr. Sarakolu. Very honored to have you here.
Thank you.
Let me explain what we're going to talk about. I guess people can guess a little bit. Yeah. Of course, Turkey was making objections against NATO membership of Sweden and Finland because it said both countries, but especially Sweden, are supporting terrorism. They were explicitly mentioning YPJ in Syria, PKK members, and also members of the Fethullah Gülen movement, which Turkey calls the FETÖ organization. And there has been a memorandum of understanding now between Turkey and Sweden and Finland for the NATO membership. And Turkey has said that it has given a list to Sweden and Finland of people who it wants Sweden and Finland to extradite to Turkey.
Yes, yes.
And we're talking to you because you're one of the persons on that list, true?
Yes. I'm on the list also, and but it is a little absurd because Turkey demanded my extradition 3 years before, and 2 years before Swedish High Court decided this is not acceptable demand, and they told what you say is not crime. In Sweden, there is freedom of expression in Sweden. And then it's meaningless to repeat this demand because there is nothing for Swedish government to do because it is the decision of the justice, the decision of the High Court.
Yes.
And also there are other strangeness in the list. For example, Sraç Bilgin. I will show his book, Sraç Bilgin's Kurdish writer.
Yes.
And he wrote this book.
Can you keep it a little bit higher? Ah, the book about Barzani.
Yeah,
ah, I know the book, but I didn't make the connection with him as an author. Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's the writer of the Barzani's biography. And more, he died 7 years before.
Exactly, he died in 2015.
In Sweden, he died. So
yes.
What will Swedish government, is Turkish government wants his body to make a grave for in Turkey? So another person, Nuray Şen, and she was Mesopotamia Culture Center director. And her husband kidnapped and killed by paramilitary. And instead of to find the murderers, they are demanding her. And it is more nonsense because she doesn't live in Sweden. She lives in Paris.
Oh, she lives in Paris.
And Turkey demand from Sweden. What can Sweden do? They kidnap her in Paris and send back to Turkey, but it is not a Swedish way.
And I last week also Googled a few names, and I also saw that one of the people on the list had passed away, and other people were also Swedish or Finnish citizens, and they will not be extradited to Turkey. So I thought nothing much maybe changing because these people will not be extradited and Turkey knows it, or they cannot be because they're no longer alive. And already when the memorandum says Sweden and Finland have to thoroughly, assess these extradition requests, Sweden and Finland already do that.
19 is replied before.
Yes, and like in your case, apparently two years ago, it was denied already.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like a little bit just absurd. But on the other hand, I heard that...
Or it is a kind of harassment.
It is an harassment. But on the other hand, I also heard that, like, you are well known and other people are, like you say, not even in Sweden or Finland, or they are citizens of those countries.
Yeah.
But there are sometimes Kurdish asylum seekers who nobody knows and who don't have a residence permit yet in Sweden or Finland.
Yeah.
And they are already sometimes extradited to Turkey. So for them, the threat is becoming bigger. Do you see it like that too? Or how much do you think that Sweden and Finland will bow to this pressure to at least give some people to Turkey?
Sweden gave sometimes exercised some people, but they were criminals connected with the drug or connected with human smugglers or that kind of crimes, not political. So it is like all between all states, you know, the mechanism of Interpol. But there is important question is that Turkey and other authoritarian systems use Interpol wrongly, misused. It is, but Interpol, I think, also now had practice. They are checking also from, and they don't send, for example, sometimes the names as Interpol. Turkey demanded, because for Interpol also it is not acceptable, the file. But it's totally misusing of international mechanism. Turkey is a part of international mechanism and a member of the European Council, sure, a part of NATO from the beginning nearly. But this problem is not for Turkey, and also the problem from the other NATO members and European Council, for example. Russian example, after Ukraine invasion, Russia fired from European Council.
Yes.
And in past, the Greek junta government was fired from the European Council.
Yeah, Council of Europe, yes.
Yeah. And so it is a kind of, you know, if you have a crime, there is a panel, but it is impunity for Turkish government. So it gives courage because of international mechanism, very passive, or they don't do anything. Or like Swedish government, they choose defense way because it's a kind of attack. They try the defense and to make convince Mr. Erdogan, really, we are not supporter of, believe us, but it is a little strange for me.
Yes.
So international mechanism must do something.
But I also heard that there was one case in Swedish media, I think last month, and it was of a Kurdish asylum seeker who was by the Secret Service of Sweden considered a danger, and he might be sent back. And he went to the European Court of Human Rights to try to stop his being sent to Turkey, and he's in hiding now. And apparently there are more Kurdish political people, not criminals, but political people. That also happens, or not? Or do you have other information?
Yeah, I am... especially now Kurdish community very anxious in Sweden because they felt themselves insecure. Swedish government do something to give community crime. Turkey was politically successful to make accept European Union countries, PKK, Kurdish Labour Party, is a terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a success, but the Belgium, the Brussels court decided about them. They are not a terrorist organization. Well, is it from political science aspect or foreign news it is more like say, a national liberation movement. When we look
exactly, yeah, past. But that's the Belgian law, of course, and not necessarily applicable in Sweden. This kind of
we must see the, and it will help to find peace. For example, European National Congress, defined as a terror organization, Mandela was 25 years in the prison, but later he became the president of South African Republic.
Yes.
So it's another example about the national liberation movements. It depends also the balance of the countries. So we may astonish later. And also Abdullah Öcalan, in Turkish hand, he was given by United States to the Turkey. So, and he is open also bargaining to help peace with his declaration. They are accusing us because we defined differently looking a Kurdish question.
Yeah, but let me get back to the situation in Sweden, because you said, of course, people in the Kurdish community in Sweden are anxious, but do they have reason, you think, to be anxious? Because they can also, maybe it's also true that Sweden will look at it fairly, or do you think that maybe Sweden is pressured so much that maybe they will give some unknown asylum-seeking, vulnerable Kurdish political asylum seeker to Turkey? Do you think that's a possibility in this situation?
I don't think, because there is a strong tradition of Sweden about political asylum. There is a long history from Nazi period in Europe. And I don't think they will check the files, and as I told, only for criminals. But it is not new. In past, they did this.
Yeah. And do you know something about this? There was a new terrorism law in Sweden in 2020. Do you know more about it, about how it is applied?
I think it is more about Kurdish question, as I know. Radical Islamism.
Yes.
Radical Islam is more threat for Sweden, because there are examples, there were terror attacks in Sweden, also, in Scandinavia, in Norway.
Yes.
So for Swedish system, political Islam is more dangerous.
Yes,
and
very
also Mr. Erdogan friendly with them, unfortunately.
Yeah, yes. But do you not think this anti-terrorism law can be misused also to please Erdogan and send people to Turkey? You don't think that's the case? That's good.
I think they will do correctly.
But then there is a big problem, because now Turkey, during the summit, Turkey said, okay, we have this memorandum and we support Sweden and Finland to become NATO members, but already he is making trouble again. Because, of course, there's a whole process. It has to be, approved by parliament. And, of course, Erdogan and MHP, the Grey Wolf Party, are in charge in parliament, so they can keep dragging this whole thing until next year's elections, even, and keep pressuring Sweden and Finland to extradite people. Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think it's over now?
I think it's over. Also, he is giving more numbers. He's talking about 72, and later he can talk 150.
Yeah.
So he will go on this play. Because his philosophy is win-win. He's awaiting some interest from Sweden, might be canceling the banning to sell weapons to Turkey. there is an arm industry in Sweden, and they don't sell planes and other apparatus to Turkey. I'm anxious about that. I think Sweden may sell, because there are some news about the Swedish government canceled this ban.
Yeah. So is that, and Turkey will be satisfied if that ban is in practice also broken and weapons are delivered, then he will let go of the extradition requests, or?
I think he will not insist if he win this. It's more important than extraditions. Only it is a matter for bargaining. Yeah. He wants also a winner. Sweden win NATO membership. What will I win? He's thinking.
Yes.
It's a different kind of politics.
And he's very smart in that, isn't he? Or do you not want to say that out loud?
Unfortunately, he knows to play. But as I say, European countries permit this also. And when there is a hard attitude from United States, he immediately accepted.
Also, yes, he wanted to meet with Biden also directly. And that is very important for him, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So the United States, another factor, also one of the reasons he compromised about NATO membership after Biden called. We'll see.
Yeah. And how did you hear about that you were on the list? Did you hear it in the media, or did you get a call from a lawyer or from a friend? Or how did you hear that you were on the list?
From the press, when they and then sure immediately the press called me.
Yeah.
And also my friends, journalist friends, checked the list and they say you are in the list again.
And what was your reaction? Did you laugh or did you also get, I don't know, what was your reaction?
My reaction, I became angry.
You became angry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because it is a harassment.
It is harassment, yes.
It's enough. What he's personally reactionary to me because of my articles, and he also sued me because of an article about the political history of Turkey, and I wrote about the coup d'etat in 1960. Yes. And it doesn't means to support the coup d'etats. I'm always against coup d'etats.
Of course.
But also not coup d'etats are responsible of the civilian politicians because of their wrongs, especially in Turkey. For example, you know, Demirel became president of Turkey, and Ecevit became his prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
But in 70s, they were harsh in conflict, and there was no compromise. It was one of the reasons of 1980 coup d'etat.
Yeah, it's interesting and important that you get into the history a little bit, because people sometimes think that that Erdogan is sort of the biggest problem that Turkey has, and he's, of course, a big problem. And if he loses the elections next year and admits his defeat, that would be good, but it would not solve Turkey's problems. Things like this could also happen with another government with established parties, I suppose.
Yeah, but it will take time. And I think after elections, coalition government, and it was possible in 2015 elections, if Erdogan accept make a coalition with HDP, with the Kurdish party, it would be a strong base for the democracy, and also it would help solution of the Kurdish problem also democratic way.
Yes, that is also one of the smart things that he now again manages to, change the conversation. We're not talking about, the need for serious peace negotiations.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about Kurds and terrorism. And that is, of course, very much what he likes. He wants to make that connection.
Yeah. And also it make a kind of equality between Kurdish question and the Turk question. And it is bad. So it means for many people, the Kurdish question is a problem of the terrorism and not a question of the citizens.
Yeah. So you became angry, but I also see you now in our conversation that you're laughing about it a little bit, that you're,
sure.
that you're on this list.
Sure, it was also funny. Yeah.
And you will, so you, but you don't feel like specifically threatened or in danger.
Yeah, danger is from the hooligans. Not.
What do you mean with hooligans?
The system, huh? Because there are hooligan supporters also of him.
Online and, or? Huh? Online, you mean, or also in real life?
After this, nothing happened. But when he attacked 2 years before, there was attacks from. Social media from his hooligans, and also they put my address in the social media as a kind of threat. Somebody may go and
that is a threat. That is a
threat. This is threat. Yes.
So this could happen again, and that's of course worrying.
It doesn't. It didn't happen this time.
No.
Yeah,
but nothing that you would, I don't know, you said you are writing for Evrensel and for Yeni Yaşam and for Artık Gerçek, you will continue to do that, right?
So
I hope.
I asked my friends, I told my editors, if it is a problem for you, I can stop writing for you because I don't want to make, because the chief editor of Evrensel went interrogation 2 years before because of my article critical Erdoğan. They are courageous, you know, a lot of courageous journalists in Turkey.
Yes, there
I
are.
Just wrote an article about the journalists in the prison. And I gave the addresses and I call my readers to send them cards and letter.
Oh, good. So as long as the editors-in-chief don't say like, okay, we have to be a little bit more careful, and but they don't say that and you keep on writing. Very good.
But I told, please tell me if you found something dangerous in my article. I can't. But this is also opened the way of auto-censorship. Now, the media in Turkey... work with auto-censorship, unfortunately. But the dissident press are courageous.
Yes, and you're right. Like, people are in jail and a lot of media are totally in Erdogan's hands. We also have to acknowledge that there are a lot of brave Kurdish and Turkish journalists still doing their works. And that's very important, yes. Are one of them. You may not be in Turkey, but you keep doing what you've been doing all your life, and that's also very... That's also courageous and very persistent. Thank you for commenting on this issue.
Yeah, thank you.
And take care.
Okay. And I wish success for you in your work.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. Okay.
Yeah. Hey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.